Fantastic. We just started. Awesome. Jay, how are you, man? Where are you calling from?
Thanks for having me on. I am in California, Los Angeles. Our team is spread out around the world. We're definitely a remote team here at Genopets, but a lot of us are based in the US. Yeah, I myself, California.
Nice. And have you lived all your life in California, or where were you before?
No, I've been all over. I was born in the US, but I went to university here. Is originally what brought me to LA. That and sunny weather. I'm one that's like very affected by the weather. If it's too cold or too hot or raining or whatever, I'm not like wild about going outside. It very much affects my mood. So when I found out about California, when I found out about this temperate climate that's never hot or cold, and doesn't rain too often, it sit perfectly with me. That and diversity of food. I'm a big food person. LA has some of the most diverse food climate of anywhere that I've ever traveled. You can get great ethnic cuisine from basically around the world, all here in LA.
Nice. And then why did you choose LA instead of SF, for example, in California?
I went to USC, University of Southern California. So it was in LA. And SF's cold. I do think SoCal weather was a big draw for me. When I initially made this decision to marry, it was very much weather, temperate climate. I lived in Texas before, and it was always raining, always hot. A lot of people. So yeah, it wasn't my favorite.
Got it. And being in LA. I'm good, man. I am. I was actually in San Francisco last week, and I just came back to London. But London is pretty bad, man. When it comes to weather, it rains like throughout the year. So anything you do, you have to carry a coat, even if it's summer.
Yeah, it makes it hard to go outside and move.
Yep. But every time I come to California, it's awesome, you know. California is awesome when it comes to business, when it comes to weather, when it comes to, I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. What, awesome. Before you started Genopets, what were you doing?
So I got into crypto in 2016-ish, 2017. 2017, 2018, I was one of the first employees at Block One. Working on EOS. It was one of the layer one protocols back then that got really popular. I was on the marketing side of things, building community. It was my first foray into Web3 community building. We had one of the most exciting runs through the market of that time, building up a really solid, you know, foundation of people that were excited to build a new layer one. Today, there's like a million layer ones. At that time it was Ethereum and a handful of others that were starting to spring up. So yeah, that to me was probably one of the most interesting parts of the space, is to see the power of Web3, which we didn't even call Web3 that much then. The power of crypto or blockchain to build community around this fundamental technology that was going to change the way the internet worked. That's what got me really excited about crypto. I've never actually been a huge crypto trader. I've always been more on the building side. I started my career as a product manager 10, 12 years ago. So the idea that blockchain could fundamentally change the way data was transacted and validated online, and digital scarcity as a concept, really resonated with me in all the different potential use cases. Obviously that's arrived me at gaming today. But it didn't start there. It started at more of the plumbing side of things on the layer one. So yeah, that's kind of what got me into the space. I was there for a few years, and that's where I met my two co-founders, Albert and Ben. They had one of the most popular projects on EOS at the time called GenOS. They won our hackathon. It was a health data marketplace, actually, that would make an NFT out of your health data and enable passive income to individuals when researchers utilized your data in the aggregate for studies. So today, you know, companies like 23andMe or Ancestry or just in general, when your data is aggregated and sold, you never get a piece of the pie. So the idea was to make an individual's data into an NFT, so that in the aggregate, when your data was traded, you could get royalty on the utilization of your data in said pharmaceutical research or whatever study was using your health data. For a number of reasons that didn't really pan out, it was, you know, it wasn't fun. It was very like data centric and not consumer. So why as an individual would I care? Unless you were going to pay me a bunch of money, then maybe I would care. And it's funny because that thesis is actually what turned into gaming in crypto. Like, if the game's not fun, I'm not going to play unless you pay me a bunch of money. So Ben, my co-founder, had the idea back then to say, why don't we, you know, this NFT that represents your health data, it could really be, it doesn't have to be an NFT that's on chain that nobody knows what it is and it's a bunch of cryptic blockchain stuff. It should be represented by something fun and something you care about, like a pet. So can we make a pet that is an NFT and has a bunch of blockchain technology stuff behind it, but the average user is not even going to care about that. They're going to care that their pet grows and evolves and looks cooler the more they take care of themselves. And that became the hook for GenoPets that tied it back into the previous idea of motivating people to stay active, of rewarding people for taking care of themselves, of providing, you know, this way to make people care about living a more active, healthy lifestyle, all through the guise of a pet. Because you'll skip going to the gym most days, but you don't skip feeding your dog. So can we bring those two motivators together and make taking care of your pet something as commonplace as putting in a few extra steps every day? Yeah, wow. That's kind of where it came from.
So that's how it started. Okay, so you guys had this idea. What did you do? Like, you have this idea. How did you start building
it? Yeah. And actually, I wanted to say, and I totally forgot, usually when I do these podcasts or AMAs, et cetera, I'm walking on my treadmill. I got a treadmill. I got a treadmill when we started GenoPets. I put it under my desk because I'm in meetings all day long, obviously working. So I wouldn't usually get to do this sort of thing. Go out and take a walk is less common for me. I don't know if the sound is going to bother you, but let's test it out and see what happens.
Let's see if it works.
As soon as the beeping stops.
Nice.
I don't know if you're getting a lot of background noise there. Hopefully not. It's a little bit noisy as a thing, but it tends to smooth out and I can just get some steps in while we walk.
Yeah.
Or while we talk.
What's the level of your GenoPet?
So I have a level 23 Genesis GenoPet.
Okay.
There's a bunch of process and lore and story behind the way this works. You know, a lot of crypto games typically require you to buy something to get in the game. And then after you buy something, you're constantly looking at like how much money I can make because I put money into this game. And the game's predicated on basically this idea that I spend some money to make some more money. And that's actually the thing that I never really liked about crypto, is that the only reason to ever get into crypto for the last 5 years has been to spend some money to try and make more money. It's always been about the finances. Gaming has this unique opportunity to get people to care about crypto, not because of how much money they're going to make, but instead because it's fundamentally going to change the gaming paradigm. Like, I just really want to play this game. A part of this game or an expansion pack in this game is for me to learn Web3. And that's the way we designed GenoPets. Anybody can download the app with no wallet. They don't need to know anything about crypto. You download the app from the store. Today we're invite code only. So if you join our community and you're active in our community, you can get an invite code. But if you get an invite code to the game, you download the app, you sign in with Facebook or Google or email password, and you start to play. At some point throughout your journey, kind of like every free-to-play mobile game, you'll realize that there's more you could do, or there's faster ways that you could progress and grow if you learn Web3. If you acquire a wallet and you buy some NFTs, you start making stuff, think of it like the upgrades that you typically buy in your regular game, but we do all that through Web3. So it's not a requirement, but it's an opportunity to expand and enhance your gameplay to earn some crypto while you play if you do the Web3 side of the game. Mm. Yeah.
And then the initial bits of starting the company was what? Who was building and who started building the community as well?
Yeah, so there was, as I said, myself, Albert, and Ben, the three co-founders, just about a year and a couple months ago, probably last year, May 2021, the idea started to really come together. You know, like most startups, you end up like making a landing page, starting some social profiles, let's make a deck, start telling people about this idea we have. For us, well, actually, one of the first things we did was make a demo. I don't think the site's still up yet. It was demo.genopets.me. But on that site was the first demo of imbuing your personality into your personalized Genopet. Because a big piece of this idea was that your pet is made as a reflection of you. So we started by those typical things, right? Make a website, make a demo. When you get your Genopet, you answer 5 personality questions. Think of it like a Myers-Briggs personality test. And we use those inputs to generate a Genopet custom to you. It's got a description that reads out like not your horoscope, your personality, kind of like, again, a Myers-Briggs. So that was one of the first things we did. And actually, that was a big part of our growth, like putting the experience out there where people could play this little mini game and see their Genopet form was just fun and different. I would say that experience plus like a really strong narrative tailwind of people being interested in crypto games around that time last summer were two of the really big things that got us going. Everyone had been talking about play to earn. We came up with this idea called move to earn. And as you move around, your pet's going to grow. I'm not big on the to earn concepts, but that's what it became. Especially last year, it was like all the rage. So we caught a lot of good narrative tailwinds around the industry really evolving. And most importantly, our game looked fun and it looked nostalgic. And who doesn't love a good pet care game tied to something like moving around because I've been trapped inside for COVID for the last 2 years? You know, again, thinking from the perspective of last year's timeline, just a lot of narrative tailwinds of the world were behind this being a great idea with some legs that, you know, we did a small fundraising round. We launched a token. We started selling Genesis pets. Like we did the whole sort of tip, like Web3 playbook to get the game going and get the community going. The thing that we always sort of held our heads high on was building experience with the community. From the day we launched this company, we had started building games. We built that demo I told you about. The first 3,000 Genopets to ever exist, 3,218 Genopets to ever exist, the Genesis Genopets. There was a game you had to play to acquire them. So while we launched our mobile game only a couple months ago, we've been building game with the community and getting them actively involved and building around that since last year, since a few months after our first seed round.
How did you start with the community though? Because it's like today you build one of the best communities out there and it's been a year or so. How did you start? How can someone start if they are seeing your journey? How can they start? So how can you get your experience here? Like, yeah. How did you guys start with the people? Where did you find the first few people that joined? And then how did you double down on it?
Yeah, I think a large part of building community comes down to, one, like being present and existing with that community. I spend a lot of my time on Discord, a lot of my time on Twitter, just being a part of our community and building with them. So I would say one of the first big keys to a successful community is establishing the community with the understanding that being a part of this Discord or this community is more than just getting updates. It's not a one-way street. You're part of the conversation. You're helping grow and evolve the project. Your opinion matters and we want to hear it. That's, I think, a sentiment that our server has that probably no other game really has landed properly. The people in our server want to be there, not to get the next alpha, because yes, a lot of NFT projects are all about like hanging around to find out when the next alpha drop is going to be, blah, blah, blah. They want to be there because they want to contribute to the game. And I want them there because we want to hear what your opinions are and your thoughts are on the way we can improve. So from day one, I've always been a very in the community, with the community type. I think that's the message that we've always put out there. And that made people want to tell their friends, to bring other people into the community. We've to date grown wholly organically. You know, some of our earlier games, as I was saying, that we built really attracted some attention. You build sharing into the experience. So that I remember even when we had a few thousand people on Twitter, one of the first things we did was a giveaway for the first 1,000 eggs for the GenoPets, for people that would bring their friends into the community and tell them about GenoPets. This is not rocket science. Obviously, people do giveaways and sharing. But what makes it different is when those people come, you have to get them to stick around. If they're just there for the giveaway, the moment the giveaway ends, they will leave if they didn't win. Or even if they won, they will leave. So that, I think, was what was really unique about the way we structured, is that, you know, you had the opportunity to retain the community and keep them engaged afterwards, because we were doing something fun. At the end of the day, you know, I make the joke that even without crypto, it would be fun to have a pet that you walk around with. Certainly Web3, gives us a lot of unique opportunity to make our game different. It changes the economic model. It puts ownership in the hands of the player community. There's a lot of that type of thing that we're really excited for. You know, your traditional game studio makes stuff and sells it to people. But Web3 gives us the opportunity to have the community really engaged in that process. You can craft items and own those items and sell them to other people too. So it's a little bit like, I don't know if you think of it like Amazon. Like, I buy stuff on Amazon all day long, but there's also people in our game who will be selling stuff. The items that you craft in a typical game, if you think of it like Animal Crossing, the stuff you make in Animal Crossing that you trade with other people is now NFTs that you own. So there's value being transacted between players that they could potentially get, you know, some earning from or transact value with one another, so that I'm more invested in the economy of the game. And not necessarily invested financially, invested from a sense of like, I just care about this stuff more because it's real, because I can pull it out of the game, because the progress that I put into my GenoPet to make it level 77, stage 12, really cool evolved, is a representation of me. It's how much I've walked. It's how good I am at this game. It's the ultimate flex for how dedicated I am to my health at an extent. If you think of it like, yeah, so I guess that narrative, kind of back to the beginning of your question, that narrative and the idea that being here in this community means you're one of the first to, you know, understand and see this concept and acquire a GenoPet and have this flex that you're going to get to show off, relative to you, we bridge the physical and digital. I don't like the idea that metaverse is somewhere you escape to. We think about our game as augmenting life.
Yeah. How much of the So there is an element of getting the community to tell you what to build. So they always see the features that they want in the product. They see themselves and their ideas being in the product. How much of their ideas do you incorporate versus your ideas?
I mean, there's a practical balance there, right? Like the premise of the game all started from our team before any of this community even existed. But what's happening now, and especially as we move to be more of a decentralized organization, decisions around game economics are proposed to the community. Should this mechanic work like this? We're thinking about implementing features like this. And we collect feedback. Today, there's no strict formal process with voting or anything around it. To be honest, it feels more like a conversation on a Discord server where people can chime in and, you know, have emoji reactions. Which I think is a good step forward in the right direction. You know, if you jumped on our Discord server today and you just asked, like, does this team listen to the opinions of the community? Like, I would hope that the general sentiment is, you know, we want to hear what the community's feedback is. This isn't a place where, it's a one-way street. But as you sort of alluded to there, there's practical realities around that. Like, we have to do the engineering work. We know how the smart contracts work. Like, there's going to be things that the team will have to make final decisions on. But I would say intentionally, the bulk of those decisions are starting to include the community more and more. As we move to a more decentralized governance over the way the game operates.
Mm. Nice. And then what kind of, you mentioned that people are creating their own, they're selling themselves by creating their own NFTs. What have you seen? What's the most usual thing that you see that is being created?
Well, I think just to clarify that a little bit, the way that crafting of items is our next major release. As of today, it's not out, although I guess at the time of publication, it may be live. We're just a few weeks around the corner from the ability for players in the game to make stuff. So the power-ups and the wing, custom wings and the color changing and the things that you typically buy in other games from the game publisher selling it to you are created in our game by the players. So it's again this opportunity to have the player base be more engaged with the full life cycle of the game. Not just on the consumption side, I want to get this potion so that I can, you know, do this to my character in the game.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's
so. There's not. Yeah, that's everything from, you know, yeah. Basically, it's everything in the game. It's created by the players.
And what's the future of the game? It's like, where do you expect Genopets to be in 1 year? And where is it going to be in 3 years?
You know, today we start as a step counter. It's a step counter. As you walk, your steps are converted to energy. Your energy fuels your gameplay. There's a bunch of different things you can do with it. But I do think in the nearer term, you know, over the next year, we're looking at a lot more motion inputs. It doesn't necessarily just have to be steps. If you get a good night's rest, should your Genopets health recharge? If you eat well, should it be more efficient at converting steps to energy today? Should its mood play into how it's growing and evolving? So maybe you need to pet it and play games with it. So we do see in the nearer term completing like a bit of a Tamagotchi loop where you've got this pet that you take care of and, you know, you nurture it. In the longer run, certainly things like battle and exploring an open world and other things to do with your pet as the game gets more robust, is the direction we're headed. I do think there's a big open sea, no pun intended, there of stuff for us to really explore. Once you have this avatar that is a reflection of you, can you bring it into other experiences? Should it be my avatar in other games? Obviously, we'll build more roadmap for our own game, but there's a lot of ways that we're looking at this pet being a reflection of you that, you know, if I'm riding on my, if I'm, you know, if I'm at the gym showing somebody that my Genopet is level whatever and has had this many, you know, reps, et cetera, is just a cool kind of flex for this digital NFT. Who cares? I mean, whether or not it's an NFT or whether or not you understand it's an NFT, the progress in this game being measured by my progress in real life has a lot of opportunity to really reach a lot of different audiences.
Nice. So potentially the activity you do, not only your steps, the way that you are sleeping and how well you slept, and then biomarkers like maybe your heart rate or your heart rate variability and how healthy you are, it's going to be the evolution of the pet. I love it.
Huh? That's the idea. Basically, the pet reflects you and how well you take care of yourself and everything that you're doing.
It's fantastic. And then walk us through a bit of when it comes to fundraising. When someone is at your stage, you have such a great product, great community. How do you raise funds? How can someone that is building something similar learn from you when it comes to fundraising?
It's interesting. Fundraising is always a whole separate work stream from operating your company. And it takes time. It takes the willingness to put yourself out there. It's a little bit like building community in that you're rallying new people to get behind you and you want them to tell each other about how great your story is. But you're telling a slightly different story. You know, for us, we've always harped on the fundamentals of this project being really attractive. You know, it's a game that people are going to care about. We have a bit of validation now. The community is strong. People do care about the game. They care about the IP. They like the concept. They're willing to tell their friends to get involved. Like a lot of the initial flywheel is moving now. And when you look at fundraising, oftentimes it does come down to what is that narrative? Is the product's foundation solid? Do you have the right metrics? Is your retention really sticky? Even at a small scale to prove that it's got some legs. Do you have some growth loops? And then from there, you know, are you capable of scaling the team? Do you have the right people in place? Do you know where to go? I think we're in more of a stage where we'd be looking at a growth round than a seed round. A lot of people, for their initial idea, they put together a deck. People like the concept. They think there's a market for it. You can raise a small seed round. But with that seed round, you know, what we've done over the last year is start to prove out that concept and really build out the game. So what we're looking at from our position now, if the game were at a similar stage to us, it would really be about identifying what your key metrics are, you know, showing really strong retention and community growth, that there is a viable business model here. And that maybe that next tranche of funding helps you identify the right ways to scale.
Awesome. And when it comes, you mentioned the team. Who's in the team today? How you mentioned earlier you are all remote. What's your logic remote?
Yeah, we're all remote. There's 24 full-time employees. With agency and contractors, we probably scale to closer to 50. But what's really challenging from a team perspective being remote is obviously some logistics around, you know, being available at certain times and everybody having calls. That's given. But the thing that I think is most rewarding that comes out of that is the time you spend together is oftentimes hyper-focused and really effective. So we've had a really, we've been half luck, half, you know, just doing it the right way of getting great people together that are willing to stretch the time zones a little bit to make sure we have some overlap, that are willing to be very communicative asynchronously. You know, some of those things really coming into remote work, I think are very important. But also it gives you the opportunity to find the perfect skill sets, no matter where they are. Just because you're in Los Angeles doesn't mean you have the same, you know, you have the best skill set for what we need. So there is that benefit. We also do things like, you know, have regular team activities and virtual ones and bringing people together in person. So there's that benefit that comes out of not having to pay for an office every day. You have budget to do other things. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting time. I think a lot of people in the world had to be remote, obviously, for some time. Myself personally, I had worked remotely for a number of years even prior to COVID. I've been pretty used to having distributed teams. So it wasn't a big change. Yeah, it's been great for sure.
Nice. And then where are most people from the team? And then at the stage you are, what's the biggest requirement when it comes to the team? Is it engineering? Is it marketing? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of our team is certainly engineering and product. We're really all over. I guess I would say the majority are in the US, but maybe it's a 50% and 50% are other places. Just off the top of my head, I don't really know the math there. But yeah, I would say at this stage, you're definitely primarily focused on building and getting a lot of engineering and product heads hired. We do have a solid ops team that's handling things like economy too. A game has an economy, but a crypto game really has an economy. So we have a lot of things that we are balancing there to make sure that not only is the game fun, but it has the right mechanics to keep people in it and to keep it balanced. Tokenomics obviously is a big piece of Web3 game that we have a team focused on.
And where do you think is the future of this space? Like in 5 years' time from today, what are we going to be seeing in this space?
For me, I think, I mean, I'm biased, but I think the way we've established the model is the right one, where 5 years' time, the vast majority of games are just games. They have the opportunity for things to become NFTs, to be Web3, to quote unquote earn from the experience of playing, but it's not required and it's more seen as a expansion to the regular gameplay. That's the way we're designed. So again, I'm biased, but I do see, I don't fundamentally believe that having to get a wallet, having to do things with crypto is the right approach to forcing people to learn Web3. Learning Web3 should, you know, in the same way that some people choose to not learn how the internet works. They just want to go to websites and read information and watch YouTube videos. You should not have to learn how crypto really works to experience these games. You should have the opportunity to, and maybe some advantage or additional things you can do because of it. But yeah, I don't know. That's the way that I would see the space moving. And then you'll have all sorts of genres of games come out of that.
Awesome. Last point. Is there something you want to bring up that I forgot to ask?
No, I guess you didn't ask me how many steps I got.
How many do you have until now?
Let's look. That's always the joke when I do these things and I walk for like 30 minutes while I'm not walking very fast, as you can tell. One second for the... I have.
How are you measuring? Is it Apple Health or?
Apple Health. But I actually don't use. I find that my phone gets more steps than my watch because my arm doesn't move a lot, right? Oh. My arm's always on the keyboard, so I turned off step tracking from the watch and just used the phone. I got almost 2,300 steps, or sorry, almost 3,000 steps from our walking for the last 30 minutes. But
that's not bad.
I'm only going about a mile
at
an hour.
The 23rd level, though, in Genopets, you're not going to grow much, will you?
it's about time. I mean, and actually, I don't know, just get into more the ethos behind the game, right? It's like you have to put in the time to level up. It's easier to level up when you're lower. But similarly, like you want to lose a pound, it's not bad. You want to lose 20 pounds, it's a lot of work. Like the game is all designed around this like healthy lifestyle, being active, motivator. And it's not about how much you can run either. It's being consistent. Because you'll see that every day, the amount of steps you get has a diminishing curve to the amount of energy you get. And it's about doing it every day, not, how much you can run. The marathon runner isn't the best player in the game. It's people that check in every day and can do their 5,000-10,000 steps regularly.
Yep. I look forward to the update that you mentioned.
Banking my steps right now.
Nice. I look forward to the update that you mentioned because once you add activities, it will track my weightlifting sessions as well, so I can upgrade faster, you know?
Nice. Yeah, I don't do too much weightlifting, but I am trying to get my steps in more.
Awesome, man. Jay, thank you so much for this. It's been a pleasure. Awesome to hear what you're building.
Thank you, sir.
I'm using it daily as well. So I'm at level 10 now. I need to do it a bit more, but it's fantastic, man.
Thanks so much. I'm telling you, you get 5,000-10,000 steps in a day. It's more than enough to get the energy that you need to start leveling up. There's obviously more that you'll be able to do in the game soon, but it's training mode now. Get yourself used to doing that, and we'll keep going. Appreciate the time. Thanks. GinoPets.me. Follow us on Twitter, Discord. I appreciate it. Talk soon.